the Tarncast, Tarncast, 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 it's the Tarncast, Tarncast, this is the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hi friends, it's Ashley with my special guest, throw a goddamn bone to Todd Anderson. I'm assuming it cuts off. Also, I just want to let everyone know that he was just listening to John Mayer, and he's lucky that I'm even doing this right now.
Why don't you like John Mayer? What's your problem?
I just don't know. I don't know.
You don't like the cheesiness, the smoothness of it?
Yeah.
Are you not a yacht rock person?
Considering I don't have a yacht, no.
You don't have a yacht?
One day you will.
So you don't like, you know, like old songs like Sailing by Christopher Cross?
I only like that song because of South Park.
Okay. And you probably only like Michael McDonald because of South Park. He did one of their songs. You don't like Michael McDonald?
I don't even know who that is.
You know who the Doobie Brothers are?
Yeah.
All right. He was in the Doobie Brothers.
Oh.
You know the song Taking It to the Streets?
I'm sure if I heard it, I would know it.
Yeah. Well, he joined the Doobie Brothers after they had already been around for a while. But yeah, he made them famous again.
Oh, well, good for him. Good for them.
Yeah, good for everybody. He's got a golden voice, but he was known for what is now referred to as yacht rock. Although that didn't start happening until the last 10 years or so.
I'm going to listen to yacht rock while I'm mowing tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. You know, there's deep cuts. There's all kinds of stuff. But Michael McDonald is one of the main dudes of the yacht rock genre. Along with Christopher Cross. Now, John Mayer is not, but I would suggest that his album Sob Rock that came out 2 or 3 years ago is definitely modern yacht rock music. It's got all the hallmarks of a yacht rock song, of, you know, easy listening, but it's sort of sad. It's about, you know, the subject matter is often about losers, you know, who can't make things work out, you know, like Steely Dan. You know, Steely Dan, a lot of yacht rock songs in Steely Dan, and their songs are about, you know, criminals and losers and creeps. Yeah. You don't like Steely Dan either?
What happens if I say no?
I don't care. A lot of people don't like Steely Dan.
I've just been listening to podcasts like nonstop. Oh my God. And I was so excited. Spotify, like if you have like a premium plan, you can listen to books. So in like 2 days, I like binged almost 3 books. And then like I was listening to Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mom's Died or something. And it cut it off at a very pivotal point. But you only are allowed to listen to like a certain amount of hours, and you can like re-up for like 10 hours for like $13. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? And
how many hours do you get like for a period of time? What's the hours and period of time?
I didn't even look it up. I was so mad. So I'm just waiting until next month. But it cut off. Like, she was giving this dude a blowjob. She'd never done it before. And she didn't know what cum was. And she literally, it cut off right when she's like, what's cum? And then it just stopped. And I was like, oh, did my phone die or my headphones die? And I look at my phone and I was like weed whacking or something. And it was like, oh, you reached your limit of hours listening to books. I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I was like, this is the worst spot to leave off. Like, what happened?
That's how they get you. They want more money.
Well, they're not getting it from me.
And then the, you know, it's the first one is free. It's like meth, heroin, cocaine. The first one's free. And once you realize you like it, then you have to pay more money to get more hours. Drugs.
It was not great. I'm so Audible, I thought came with Prime, and I was like, I'll just do it that way. And it's like not one of the free books I get. I was like, So now I just have to wait. But I did listen to, first I listened to, because I listened to the Red Handed podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's like a true crime podcast. And they wrote a book and it was like hella interesting. And then I listened to a David Sedaris book and then was Jeanette McCurdy. And then now I'm just listening to podcasts.
Sorry. Are any of the podcasts good?
I've been binging Red Handed.
Okay, so you've been listening to not podcasts, but you've been listening to podcast.
Yeah, I did listen to Morbid today. I think it was today. They had a new episode out today.
So you're kind of a stereotypical lady in that you like true crime shit.
And I have a million plants. I have cats.
None of that is necessarily stereotypically lady. That's a stereotype of a particular kind of lady. Not bad. But I just mean in women in general are the main consumers of true crime stuff, whether it be TV series or podcasts or whatever.
Yeah.
Hill read I guess it's true crime, a book, and then she gave it to me and I'm reading it. It's nonfiction, so I find it more interesting than I usually find fiction.
Yeah.
If it's well written, nonfiction will draw me in. And this book is called Sex Cult Nun. But she's not a nun. I don't know why, I guess that's a great title to grab people. But she grew up, she from birth in a Christian sex cult.
Was it the Children of God?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. I just listened to two episodes about them.
Oh, did they mention this book?
No.
Oh no. What a disservice.
But now I'm going to read it
in this book. Yeah. It's horrifying. And it's the kind of thing, I'm not huge into true crime stuff. My nonfiction books tend to be, about war and shit because I'm old and white and American. But this book is different than I normally, true crime creeps me out, and I have watched, I watched that, mini docuseries about, Army Hammer's entire family. And I was immediately drawn in by that. I guess it's more interesting to me if the person works within the field that I'm trying to work in, perhaps. But this sex cult nun thing, it's I can read so much. And then once I get to a horribly disturbing part, I can't keep going because it's not, it's not escapist. It's very engaging. But it's the opposite of escapism, because it's horrifying and freaks me out.
It's really fucked up.
She's writing it, this her story about growing up in this cult. She writes it from the point of view of herself at the ages that she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when her quote unquote uncle comes over and asks her for a kiss and tries to put his tongue in her mouth, and then she's resistant, and then he shames her for being resistant. Mm-hmm. You read that and you're like, for fuck's sake, man. And she's like eight.
Yeah. Isn't that? Oh my God. It's so fucked.
So the way she writes it is really quite good, because she's writing it like it feels as if you're experiencing it in the present tense in the ages that she's in as she's writing.
Yeah.
And that is very effective and terrifying, but it's very hard to read. It's while it's very easy to read and it's compelling and it makes you want to keep reading in a lot of instances, then there's these other ones that make you put it down because it's just too horrifying.
Yeah.
And it's because you're hearing this kid experience these things.
They're still around. They're just named something different because of the child sex allegations.
Oh, I'm sure. Cults, they don't die. They just, she grew up with go bags. Like that was a thing. And they ran drills for when they were getting busted. And in the part of the book I'm in, I mean, she's living in China. Because her dad, her main dad, not sure if it's her actual dad, but her main dad, is the son of the guy who started the cult.
Her grandfather,
who has never met, doesn't know what he looks like.
I don't think a lot of people do, and that's for a reason.
No, yeah. And like he's hidden, and like the main, you know, it's like Scientology. There's like different levels.
Yeah.
Of respect from the guru that people have. And, so her dad, because he's so close, is often ordered to move around. And they're always ready for cops to show up.
Yeah.
Even in China and with go bags, you know, or Interpol agents or whatever. I don't know who goes after those people internationally, but it's really weird and really creepy. And at the same time, it makes me think of all of us. We grow up in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're taught in certain things. If you grow up in a family that is religious on any level, you're from birth, I was taught about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was taught as a reality. It wasn't taught as this is a thing that we, you know, believe in, but we have no proof of, you know, it was not taught that way. It's taught, this is what happens. And this is what you need to learn from the Bible. And this is what you need to learn from Jesus. And this is how you need to behave according to the scripture and the man who existed. And so I grew up thinking it was totally real. And I always had questions.
Yeah.
Like, as I was growing older, I would ask questions at, you know, my CCD classes on Monday night. You know, it was Sunday school on Mondays for Catholics. And I would always ask these questions, and they were very simple and childlike. But it was like, why did Jesus have to die for our sins? And like, what's the contractual elements between his dad and him? Like, if he does this, then all our sins are forgiven. If we just go to confess, can you explain what's the paperwork on this? And nobody had a reasonable answer.
They just throw a Bible at you.
Yeah, they just say basically, this is, you know, the mellow ones would say, this is about faith. And I'd be like, well, I don't, you know, and certainly as a 52-year-old man, I've learned beyond a shadow of a doubt that faith is a waste of fucking time.
Facts.
It will not help you on any level. And it's certainly never helped me. And I'm, you know, I have no faith anymore in basically anything.
Oh my God, me too.
Just kind of done. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of like pure unemployment.
Wow.
And I'm, you know, literally just trying to get any jobs that I can. And I'm, you know, I got rejected by Target.
I was just going to ask you about that. What the hell?
They said, no, you're not the right, but they basically, it was fun how the algorithmic letter read. It was like they sort of made it about looking out for me. We don't think that we can fulfill your needs at this time, was what they said.
Oh, okay.
It's like my needs are just a paycheck. That's it.
Yeah, right. I need money. Thank you.
That's and I'm very honest with you know, on applications, and maybe I shouldn't be. But also, you know, if I'm going to like put my resume into one of these places, I haven't worked a job in 28 years. I've been making my living as an actor for 28 years. you know, this would have been 29, but I am not making any money. But you see what I'm saying?
And yeah.
So if I put on my resume, actor, you know, I can list all the parts I've done, you know, over 28 years or whatever. But that's not going to get me hired at Target.
You don't know unless you try.
I did try. I'm speaking. That was from experience. That's a like. It's not a layman's theory. It's more of a scientific theory. I have evidence to prove.
Gotcha.
People always screw that up about scientific theory and just the word theory.
Mm.
Very commonly at the highest levels of our society, people are always saying scientific theory, poo poo. It's just a theory. It's like, no, that's not what scientific theory is. You fucking assholes. It just means all the evidence says this, but because we're science, we're open to new evidence saying it's not this, but currently what else would it be? That's scientific theory. As far as
sorry, I had to change my camera. It was like throwing me off.
Oh, because of your, why was it throwing you off?
It was like backwards.
Oh, yeah.
So now it mirrors it. And I was like, wait, sorry. It was just messing me up. It has nothing to do with anything at all.
That's all right. I get it. I get distracted by stuff when I'm doing these things too. It's technology is very distracting. So the important update from you though, Ashley, is how's Ian doing?
He can drive now.
When did he first drive?
He drove 2 days ago. He drove on, I want to say Thursday to pick up the boys from school. He got the clearance that he can drive on Thursday.
Just so your listeners remember, Ian was in a terrible car accident.
Yes, he broke his back in three places. He, his L4 was like compressed like really badly. So now he has like a bar and screws in his L4 and L3, I want to say. He doesn't have to wear his brace when he drives, which is pretty cool. It's kind of nice for me because he can't work for another 6 weeks. So like I go to work and he does like all the house stuff.
Yeah. Welcome to my wife's world. It's great. It's
awesome.
The upside to unemployed actor is the housework gets done.
Yep. Ooh, you just reminded me. I have a vape. My kids don't know about it.
You're keeping it a secret?
Yeah. They don't want me to vape and I haven't been, which is fine with me, but then I see one and I'm like, I want one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit it. My face is so burnt right now. I even put sunscreen on today.
You got too much sun out gardening?
Well, I'm a groundskeeper at a senior living facility.
Oh, wow.
Everyone loves me. It's fucking awesome. Everyone's like, you're doing a great job. The first day there, I made a friend named Robert, this old guy, and he just loves me.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's nice to be loved. Yeah, when you do hang out at senior kind of establishments, a lot of times they're very nice. Sometimes they're not.
I know.
But yeah, they're very nice. A lot of the people at my mother-in-law's place up the street are all, they're very excited about Hillary and they want to know what's going on with me and Colby. And it's very nice. Aww. It's very sweet. You know, but I don't want to talk to them because they're old.
Aww.
I'm kidding. That's not true. I just wanted to prove that Jerry Seinfeld's not right. We can still make inappropriate jokes. It's very easy. It's all about the
audience.
I think it's more about the framework, in general. And also, you know, avoiding certain words, which I'm not sure. Did you see it? It's like that whole thing is blowing up on social media right now because I guess Jerry Seinfeld once again was interviewed and complaining about how hard it is to make jokes now. because there's so many caveats on language and what words you can use, which I think is, you know, absolutely ridiculous. But everybody, of course, is, you know, responding to that, you know, from both sides of the fence. And this is like a old comedian guy lament at this point, is that, you know, quote unquote, wokeness, political incorrectness, whatever you want to call it, it gets in the way of true comedy. It's comedy can't be overthought to this degree. And I disagree. I think it's okay to overthink comedy. And I think it's okay, you know, if you're calling, you know, if your character that you're writing is a racist person, then you could probably get away with using those words because you're housing it in a particular way. Yeah. Whereas if you're using these words as a punchline, then it's, you know, but that's also not funny. You know, it's only funny to, you know, schoolyard bullies, you know, who get together. But yeah, I was watching this movie yesterday, which is a movie that I love called Goon. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Yeah.
So I was watching.
I actually saw a movie you saw.
Yeah. You liked it. Yeah, it's a good sports comedy. One of the best, I think. But there's a lot of like homosexual panic dialogue with the friends and stuff, and it is part of a comedy. And I think to a degree it's being used to get laughs, but I don't think it's being used to get laughs at the expense of homosexuals. It's more being used at the expense of people who aren't, you know, properly enlightened or educated or whatever.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know, it's not done out of, I mean, I'll be frank. It's not Dave Chappelle and transgenderism. It's not that those are not the jokes that are within Goon, the homosexual panic jokes. So I don't know. It's interesting to me, but I'm sure, you know, plenty of people have a problem with the homosexual panic jokes in Goon, you know, as people have problems with old movies like Blazing Saddles, which you can argue.
Oh my God. Yes. I watched Naked Gun recently, and I what was it? Part Two. That used to be my favorite movie when I was a kid. And I watched it recently and I was like, oh my God, I need to turn this off. I was offended. I was like, why did I like this movie?
It was Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear?
No. Oh, fuck. What was it? I'm on my phone right now. I'm not going to lose. I hope. Wait, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to Google it. Naked Gun Part Due.
Well, there's a movie called Hot Shots Part Due. But there is no.
I don't know. It was definitely Naked Gun 2.5. Sorry. Oh. I was also like very stoned when I watched it. So, but it used to, like, I just remember Leslie Nielsen was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like watched it and I was like, Ian went to bed and the next morning I was like, that did not age well.
No. Well, comedy like that isn't going to age well. I mean, there is, you know, Airplane, I think, is still really funny, but there's problematic elements of it. You know, but I don't think it's that big a deal. But I haven't seen Naked Gun 2.5 in a while. You're frozen. Can you still hear me?
I was Googling.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Okay, we're good.
All right. Yeah, so... Yeah, Naked Gun 2.5. I don't remember what was inappropriate about it. Would you?
I think it was that. Now I'm like second guessing myself. I wish Ian's downstairs watching some show that I wish I was watching right now. He started watching Them, and I was like, and I told him about, I was listening to a podcast before my phone died, and I was telling him about an episode I listened to that reminded me of that. Anyway, excuse me. I think it was, I don't know what it was. Anyway, but I watched a Leslie Nielsen movie. I was like,
I think that the parts of those Naked Guns that don't age well are really mostly O.J. Simpson.
How did you feel when he died? Were you just like, eh?
Yeah, I don't fucking care. Why would I care? I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't expect anyone to.
And he's a fucking murderer. So I don't need to care. I'm not going to give a fuck when a lot of people die. But then also there's people who aren't murderers and they die and I don't care. Cause I don't, I'm sorry. I didn't know them. I mean, I'm sad for their family's loss and everything, but I can't cry a river every time someone dies. It's not healthy. It's just not.
Sorry, I started joking.
Oh my God. You need to get some rest or something. Did you choke on your spit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that when I'm tired.
I do that when I laugh, apparently. Stop trying to kill me.
Well, stop starting to drool when I say something funny and then you'll be fine.
I can't help it.
The Naked Gun 33 and a third, the final insult, the third Naked
Maybe
Gun.
That's the one I watched. Fuck, I don't know. Anyway, continue.
It's got because those movies are all like spoofs of other movies. So there's a spoof of Brian De Palma's The Untouchables
in Naked
Gun 33 and a third with the carriage going down the baby carriage going down the marble stairs.
Oh my God, yeah.
And in the Naked Gun 33 and a third version, OJ's running around because there's more than one baby. Or no, it's just one baby, but he's running around trying to stop all this stuff. And then the baby gets jettisoned from the carriage and he catches it like a football.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he's really happy and he holds the baby up in the air and then goes to spike the baby like a football.
Yeah.
Obviously kill a baby. And then he's stopped, by Leslie Nielsen, I think, going, no, you're too excited. But that moment really plays weird now.
Yeah.
It really plays weird. And it's too bad because it's a fine, absolutely stupid spoof of that scene from that movie. But OJ kind of ruins it.
What a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's on me. I got to separate the art from the artist, I guess.
You don't always have to do that.
I don't have the ability to do it in most cases. I know what I know. I can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And there's only so much. I mean, I am a proper cisgender heterosexual white American man. I can't go there. And I should be able to, but I can't do the compartmentalization of this stuff effectively. I mean, I'm good at compartmentalizing. As I said, I told you what I am. Men are supposed to be very good at compartmentalizing, and I often am. But there's certain things that I can't unknow, and it makes it very hard to compartmentalize. Other people do it, and good for them. That's great. But I think there's a little sociopathy in that. Just a touch.
Oh, yeah. I've lost friends over, that argument. You should separate the art from the artist. And I'm like, this person, I forget who it was that we were arguing about, but we haven't been friends for years because they were defending a rapist and they're like, their art is good. I was like, they fucking raped people. And I was like, as a person who has been raped, you can't forgive that. And that person was like, you have two kids, you're an adult now, get over it. Oh. But coincidentally, that was the night that they stopped drinking. That was the last time they drank. I guess that was kind of their sorry to me. I see him sometimes, but
I mean, it's cool that someone's rock bottom is insulting you, in a way. But I don't know. That's interesting. I just broke up with somebody for political reasons.
Oh my God. I banged this dude one night and the next morning I was like, I don't know what we were talking about. And he said he was Republican and I never felt dirtier. I stopped talking to him and he was friends with my friends and I stopped. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. There's so little MAGA in my personal life at this point. It's just stuff I see on the news. Because I've effectively either been blocked or gotten blocked, you know, or blocked myself, people who talk shit. So now there's this new thing, because it's a fucking new election year, which is another hellscape year. It's already awful. It's definitely, you know, it's the best of times. It's the worst of times. So you got a kid who's 18. He's graduating high school. He got into
the college. And he got his first choice. He
wants to go to. And I haven't worked for a year, so I have no idea how I'm going to pay for all that. But, you know, so there's the best of times, worst of times thing.
OnlyFans.
Yeah, OnlyFans. Yeah.
Ooh, or a feet finder.
What am I going to – yeah, just do my feet? Yeah. Yep. Maybe I should. or maybe I'm just gonna have to make Hill take the shitty car to work and I'll start lifting or Ubering or whatever.
I did that when me and my ex-husband like split up. He took all the money and the kids and all this shit, and I worked three jobs, and I did Lyft before I had to go work at QVC, worked at QVC, and then I went to Target to work, and then I went home, and that was my life.
It sounds awful.
It was not great.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I was hoping not to go back to, you know, that kind of gig economy stuff after 28 years. But apparently I don't have a fucking choice. It's bad time. Anyway, I can't remember why I went on that downward spiral about my shitty luck.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
What were we talking about? I don't even remember. Now I'm just sad.
Oh no.
Now you're my therapist, Ashley. You have to listen to me gripe.
I won't charge you.
Oh, thank you.
The first session is free.
Can you, therapists need a license. You know, they have to go to school. They have to pass these impossible exams. You know, I've seen multiple relatives go through it and it just seems really rough. And that's what my kid's looking to do, is get into psychology.
Hell yeah.
But then I was like, well, do you need a license to just listen to somebody? Can't I just be a professional listener? And just like, you know, you can pay me whatever, $50 an hour to listen to you.
That sounds pretty great, actually. If you can do that, let me know so I can do that.
Would it be illegal? Or, I mean, would it be legal enough if there's just like some sort of, you know, legalese at the beginning? So you agree that this is not professional therapy and it's not designed to make you better?
I don't know. I want to look into that now. Shit.
Like, okay. So do you need a license to be like a fortune teller, a palm reader? Do you need
No, you need to be one.
Yeah, you just need a business license in whatever place you work in. You can just say, I'm this.
Yeah.
So why not just like up front say, I will listen to you. That's it. I will listen to you and it can be listen and supportive responsive.
Oh my God. You could be like a fill-in dad for people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, that's a good idea. The good dad. But that could lead me down like some weird rabbit holes. I just want to be, I think I should make it more generic, not a particular role in your life.
No, you're a dad now.
And that, well, I mean, you can look at it that way, but I can't advertise it that way. You know, I'm, you know, yeah. yeah, I'll listen to you and respond nicely. And I, but like, but matter of factly, I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. You know, I'll just be supportive and honest. I mean, would that be illegal?
I don't think so.
If a therapist needs a license, I mean, because it essentially sounds like therapy is what I'm saying.
It could be like, I don't know. I'm curious now.
Well, I mean, what does the therapist do for the most part? I mean, yeah, I realize, you know, it gets into trauma and you're dealing with people who have had trauma. And that requires a, I think, a proper education in psychology.
Yeah.
That. But as far as just like an entertainment sort of, you know, kind of relationship, like a fortune teller. But I just wonder if that would be like against the law to just be a professional listener.
No, that's not, that could be a thing. Like, I don't think it's against the law. I'm literally, when we are done, I'm probably going to go down a rabbit hole. And I started crocheting something that I really want to make. So if I do that, if I go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, maybe I should expand my acting coach business to acting coach professional listener and just listen.
Oh my God, you should though.
I don't. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up and see if it's illegal and if I can do it.
I don't think it's illegal. I think you're good.
I mean, could I do that on OnlyFans? Could I be an OnlyFans?
Oh my God, yes, you can. You can do whatever you want on OnlyFans.
I'll listen to you.
You don't have to be naked for it either.
Right. I'll just listen to you complain.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Now, can you, on OnlyFans, can you bring people into it? Like, can you hear them? Or is it only via, like, written message, text?
No, I think you can do, like, video messaging and stuff.
Okay.
Or like audio.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It's been so long since I've done it.
Right. Well,
I'm lazy.
That's a funny idea anyway for an OnlyFans account, professional listener. Yeah, I might do it. I mean, there's nothing. I don't know what else to do. Couldn't get a job at Target.
That's fucking whack.
Target rejected me. None of the movie theaters are calling back. All the jobs I've applied to, it's been like, not right now.
Just applied. Do you know what I do when I don't have a job and like I'm going through it? I go on Indeed and I click on easy apply and I apply to every fucking job, even if I can't get it. That's how I got this job.
Oh, you just like do a mass thing. Well, my problem is like I had, you know, one that was for like a grocery store. I don't know what they call them. I would call them a stock boy. That's how I grow stock boys. You know, they stock, but it was a nighttime thing. So that sounded good. You know, I do it at night. And then if I get anything during the day, then I just won't sleep as much, but I can go on an audition. So I was like, I might do the, you know, that sounds good, but it was, you know, the ad on the thing was said it was in Simi Valley or said it was in Thousand Oaks, which is only like 15 minutes from here. So I was like, okay, cool. I could do that. You know, at night in Thousand Oaks, it's actually great because it's overnight. Then I only need, you know, I can take a car that Hillary can take again. In any event, I was like, it was okay. So then they called this like it and it was basically a temp agency for grocery store.
Got you.
Employees. And so she called, she's like, yeah, so we do this at night and it's like 10 to 6:30. And I was like, I don't know how long I'll be able to do that. I didn't say this, but I was like,
yeah,
that's fucking hardcore. And they say it's not good for you to work graveyard shifts psychologically. It's very bad for you. But it was California minimum wage, $16 an hour. But I was like, well, at least, you know, I'd be getting some money coming in and, you know, and hopefully it would only be temporary. But then, you know, this temp agency thing called me and they're like, yeah, you have to have reliable transportation and be willing to go to any of these grocery stores in this greater area.
And no,
it was like all of Los Angeles County and all of Ventura County. And I was like,
oh my God,
driving an hour and a half for $16 an hour. That doesn't make fucking sense. I said to the lady, I was like, No. Your ad said it was Thousand Oaks, so that's why I'm applying. I'm not driving to Malibu to work in a grocery store overnight. I can't do that. And yeah, it doesn't make financial sense. And she was like, all right, sorry. And I was like, what the fuck, man?
Jesus.
So many of the online job sites are so fucking misleading, and it's all like scams. Like
oh my God, so many scams.
They're always trying to sell you education. Are you thinking about furthering your education? It's like, fucking no.
I X out immediately.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get a job. I don't want to go to school. If I want to go to school, I'd be talking to schools. It's not hard, but everything's a scam in this.
Oh my God, I know. And I love when like scammers like try to come after me and I'm like, I worked in fraud for 8 years and then they leave me alone. Cause I did. I worked at QVC in the fraud department for 8 years and are like, they stop responding. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've had guys aggressively call me trying to get me to do stuff. And I've like literally told them I'm calling the authorities and they did not care. And the reason why is the authorities you report them and the authorities don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's rampant. And, you know, it's one of those things that I really wish there was a politician who was one of their policies, is getting rid of all the scam bullshit.
Yeah.
It'd be easy enough for the federal government to do, but they don't want to step on any corporate toes that are giving them money. So it's just nonsense. If you're not like, and it's supposed to be illegal. But if you're not enforcing that, then what are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't know. But the important thing is, you know, the war in Israel, that's the important thing. Yeah. So I broke up with this friend of mine, Ashley.
Aww.
And I like him a lot. I just think he's not. He's not super versed in critical thinking, I guess. Okay. That's the best way to put it. Other people would put it less politely. But like I posted something about RFK Jr. being a fucking charlatan, piece of shit, nonsense, election spoiler. And I'm like, I don't understand it. Like going back to 2016, you know, there's no way of them ever really knowing how many votes were siphoned from Hillary by the third party people. You know, there's no way to know. Would they have voted for Hillary otherwise, or would they have voted for Trump otherwise? It's really hard to know. But, you know, the general consensus is it's very reasonable to believe that those votes were pulled from Hillary Clinton and not Donald Trump. But there's no way of knowing that. And there won't be any way of knowing it if RFK Jr. spoils this election and loses it. You know, if Joe Biden loses, there's no way of really knowing the people who voted for RFK, how much is on that. I mean, my biggest problem is like, at least, you know, in 2016, you have Jill Stein with the Green Party, and then the Green Party's thing is the environment, supposedly. And that, like, that makes sense. That makes voting sense. It's like, okay, that represents me more than these other two people. And I totally, you know, understand that. You know, because that required the critical thinking to go, well, if it is actually possible that my vote could sway things for the Nazis, maybe I shouldn't make my voting statement with a third party or just not voting at all. Maybe I should vote. And so we don't, you know, so Roe v. Wade doesn't get overturned. Nobody saw that. Nobody could believe that would happen. I believed it. I thought as soon as Trump
took office,
it's fucked. We're fucked. I knew it. And like the, you know, the whole thing for me was stopping Trump, and it still is. And Nazis, cause that's what Trump is. And that's what a Trump supporter is. It's they're just Nazis. You can call them neo-Nazis, which means new Nazis, but I don't really.
That's what I told my kids. They're like, good thing Nazis don't exist anymore. I'm like, oh, babies.
but then it's like when people use that term neo-whatever, I always think, well, in the 1920s and 30s in Germany, the Nazism, it was new.
So, oh, I see what you're saying.
They were neo-Nazis at that time. Now they're just Nazis. And all I'm saying is neo-Nazis is Nazis. It's like you can use whatever nomenclature you want, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fascism and violent fascism, no less. Well, I guess fascism is usually pretty violent. But it is, I don't know, RFK Jr. doesn't make any sense to me as like you're a double hater. That's what they're calling them now. Double haters. You hate the two leading candidates. Obviously I can't vote for Trump. He's a fucking monster. I can't, of course not. But Joe Biden, we're still sending military aid to Israel, and I'm against that. And so I'm going to vote for RFK Jr. And I'm like, what do you think RFK Jr. is going to do about the fucking war in Israel? What do you actually believe that he's going to do? What do you think? Have you heard his policy? Because he doesn't have any fucking policies about that. He wants to turn the American economy into Bitcoin and shit. He wants to his solution to the problems with the American economy, which I keep being told is not bad, even though I can't get a fucking job, and the unemployment's really low, even though I can't get a fucking job. If anybody should be angry at Joe Biden, it's me, because I keep getting told these things and it's not reflected in my personal life. But I am smart enough and I can think critically enough to know it's really not about me. And if you learn nothing from 2016, if you fucking protest voted in 2016 and you're not like stubbornly, it's not my fault. I mean, that's what everybody says. Why do they say it's my fault? Nobody's saying it's your fault. The fault is there's a giant tidal wave of fascism. And almost, if not an entire half of this country supports that wave of fascism. And then you have a choice of saying with your vote, this is what I want and this is what I believe. Or you can use your vote to do the most it can to stop the tidal wave of fascism that's rolling over this country. And Hillary Clinton wasn't my favorite fucking person in the world. Joe Biden is not my favorite person in the world. I don't think either of them are anywhere near, in my top 10 of politicians in history. But I'd really rather not be sent to a camp because, you know, I'm a fucking progressive-minded person. And that's what I was preventing with my vote. And it's always white people. It's just this white privilege and thinking my opinion matters and I have to say it. There's so many Susan Sarandons in this world. I don't realize how good they have it and like are making it about their victimization and the victimizations of others and being righteous. It's just like you got to think about the gray areas, the complications. We're not a true democracy. We're a republic democracy, a democratic republic. And it's not, it just doesn't work like that with a fucking electoral college. It doesn't work like that. And that's what you have to consider when you make your vote. I just don't understand equally hating Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I also don't get why, because it, like I said, at least Jill Stein, Green Party environment, RFK Jr. is just a fucking crazy person. It doesn't make any sense. He's a conspiracy theorist, an anti-vaxxer. And he'll say, oh, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just don't think vaccines, I don't think you should have to take them. And it's like, well, nobody's saying you have to take them, you asshole. And he's like, I'm against mandates. Mandates are like in schools, individual schools, companies. Yeah. That's their fucking First Amendment right to make a mandate in their business that they don't want to spread disease. And to be against that is fucking nuts. And it's also being, if you're against that and you think federally all those mandates should be made illegal, then you're a fucking fascist. You're a fascist. So you're trading out. You can't stand these two fascists who are running for United States president. So you go with this other fascist who's compared to one is insane and compared to the other is kind of the same, but maybe a little nicer. But RFK Jr. is Trump without like the baggage, I guess, but his whole fucking family hates him. I mean, anyway, this friend of mine, I posted a disparaging joke about RFK. And then he posted, I'm voting for him because he's a great guy and he really loves people and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because we have this like long standing, we fuck with each other on, he was pretended to be my troll and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe you were actually my troll. And now it's like coming to a head. But I was like, are you serious? Are you really voting for RFK Jr.? And he wouldn't give me a straight answer. And he's like, no, I would vote for you if you were running, but you're not. That was like one of his answers. And I was like, I can't run for fucking office. I'm trying to get a minimum wage job that I can't get.
And you should run for office.
There's no money in
that. Could have been your job, Todd.
That, it doesn't work like that. All the offices I could run for in Simi Valley are offices that don't pay shit. And I would have to spend a lot of money. That's why rich people run for office, because they have the money to spend, their own personal money to spend on campaigns and making themselves known and available. And, I guess the idea is eventually they'll get that money back after they've been in service of the country for long enough. But you can't do that unless you already have fucking lots of money to burn. And I am not. I'm a working class goddamn citizen trying to make ends meet. Paycheck to paycheck. In general, that's how my life has been. Some years it's not, but those years it's all about trying to keep as much money as I can, because I know eventually this is going to happen again. So running for office, that's crazy. That's for upper class citizens. You can't do it otherwise. You can't. I mean, unless you somehow start an internet campaign that gets people donating lots of money to your cause, like I could kickstart a political campaign, I guess.
I'd vote for you.
Well, thanks. I mean, what should I run for?
President
of the United States?
Yeah.
Okay.
And your slogan could be, hey, everyone, stop being assholes.
Yeah. Or, hey, everyone, at this point, I think abortion should be mandatory.
That's not going to go over well.
No, it really won't. But, it's just there's not a lot of evidence to not support my claim. I mean, there's not evidence to support. I mean, the world's pretty fucked up and there's too many people in it and we're polluting the environment. We're killing the earth. We're killing each other. If there were less of us, there would be less of this.
I'm just waiting for the meteor that took out the dinosaurs to come back and take us out. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Well, that would be cool. I mean, that's what I've been hoping for from a fucking Jurassic Park movie for 30 years.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that dinosaur movie.
Oh my God. When I would like to live that dinosaur movie.
Well, I don't want to, cause I'm, well, it'd be cooler to deal with like a dinosaur apocalypse than just fucking the land tumbling into the ocean. For sure. Cause you got a shot in that environment. Cause you're dealing with, I mean, I grew up in Land of the Lost. You can avoid these motherfuckers, you know, and Sleestaks. You can avoid them. You just, it's just a matter of hiding. So our lifestyles will change dramatically. Mm-hmm. There won't be any more movies and, you know, TV and stuff and TikTok, yeah, because we'll be busy fighting dinosaurs. But I don't, you know, I don't know if that's necessary.
Or taming dinosaurs because you get their poop out. My favorite shitty movie, never forget.
It's important to get the poop out of the dinosaurs. Yes, it's yeah, that would be much better. Apocalypse wise, I'd prefer dinosaurs to other things.
Yeah, for sure. But zombies, I would just end my life.
Oh, fuck zombies. It's mathematically impossible to survive, so you might as well. I mean, yeah, I just kind of go out in like a party situation, try to find a place, you know, to have a just party and wait till they fucking show up and then just
like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, like go to a pub and wait till time runs out and then just have a way of like blowing yourself up or whatever. You know, you just rig your pub with lots of bombs. So when they finally break in, you just hit a button and things vaporized.
Then everyone dies.
Everyone in the bar. Yeah. I mean, everybody who's hiding in the bar, they'd all have to agree to this. You know, I'm a democratic person. We'd have to figure it out, you know, but if some,
or you just not tell them.
Yeah, that's true. This reminds me.
Am I the evil person in the movie?
No, apocalypse. The evil person is the person who has been bitten by the zombie.
And doesn't tell anyone? What a fucking dick.
Oh my God. I saw this movie. Do you hate spiders?
No.
Okay. I hate spiders. I'm terrified of them. I'm a total arachnophobe. I make Hillary catch him and release him or kill him, depending on the situation. Because I can't do it, but I saw this movie on Shudder called Infested.
Ew.
It's like, did you ever see Arachnophobia?
I think the 80s? So.
Yeah, that was good. It's a horror comedy. This is not really a comedy, but it's like about this guy who collects these exotic, you know, animals. I don't know what bugs, animals, snakes, all that like creepy poisonous shit. That's his collection. And he winds up getting the spider that gets out and then it breeds and the whole building gets infested with these spiders. And it's super gross and super creepy, but the whole time, like the main character is this kid who brought it. It's like fucking his fault. And you're hanging out with him the whole movie. But he's like not a horrible person. He's not a bad person. He's just a person who has a weird
dumb kid
and made a mistake. Yeah. It's just a dumb kid. So, but, oh man, that creeped me out. I did not like it. Whew. I mean, I liked it. I think it's a good movie, but it gave me the willies.
My kids hate bugs. My kid was like, he was in my room and he went to go in his room the other day and he like screamed and backed up into my room and we're like, dude, what's wrong? Like, we thought it was his brother fucking with him. He's like, there's a bug. Are you fucking kidding me? It was a bug. He's always like, kill the bug, kill the bug. I'm like, I'm not going to kill the bug. If anything, I'll like catch it and take it outside, but I'm not killing it.
What if you saw one of those giant, like, Australian spiders that get into people's houses in Australia that are, like, this big? What would you do?
Be concerned.
Get out?
I don't know what I would do. One time, I was in my room, and I heard this noise, and I thought it was my cat. It was a goddamn squirrel. And like, I didn't know what to do. I ended up catching it with like a shoebox. But like, it jumped, it lunged at my face at one point. Ugh. I was like, this is fucking terrifying. But I ended up good getting it. So maybe I would do that with a spider. Try and catch it.
Okay. I mean, it's too big for a cup, you know. That's how Hillary gets them, with like a piece of paper or a plate.
And yeah.
She gets them there. But that Australian spider is too big. You need a, like a...
Maybe I just like try to shoo it away and like get it outside.
I mean, I guess you could do it with a big, like a, you know, a decent size, like trash barrel.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have to be huge. I mean, like a, you know, like an office desk, you know, trash thing that you have. Like,
yeah.
Enough to catch it. And then you need a big, you need like a big plate to go under the trash can. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when things scare me too much, I like, I don't know. Like, you know, if like you drink too much and you're like fucked up and something scary happens and you like sober up right away. That's mm-hmm. what I get like when something scares me. I get like, how do I deal with this? Like, I've gotten snakes out of our house a couple of times because my cats bring them in. Well, when they would go outside, but now they don't anymore. But like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll try to shoo it away, like with a broom or something, like try to direct it out of my house.
If it's big enough, I don't like using brooms with the smaller spiders because sometimes they get in the broom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you like when you're waving it around, you get the spider on yourself. I don't care for that.
Or maybe like suck it up with a vacuum hose and like just get it stuck to it and then get it outside and then just like let it go.
Have to be a pretty big bathroom hose for those Australian spiders.
Hmm.
You know, the vacuum.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. Probably cry, pee myself.
Yeah, I would move out of Australia. That's what I would do.
Smart ass.
Hey, it's the end of your show.
Okay.
What are you going to say? What's your thing?
I don't have one.
That's not a really good thing. I mean, I don't have
one. It's the end, my friends. I did the thing where you're... Yay.
I don't
know. One day I'll have a thing.
One day.
Today is not that day.